Jerry Bader Show, 9:35. The NFL draft commences tonight. Everybody believes the Green Bay Packers in the first round are going to take one inside linebacker or another. With the addition of Julius Peppers, who knows where on the defense? Linebacker, defensive line. The belief is they'll try to beef up the line. You know, now you've got Peppers in that role. You've got Clay Matthews, hopefully coming back full health. That they're really going to shore up the defense by getting a young player, and hopefully some of the recent defensive line draft picks continue to increase in contribution. And then you have a much better developed defensive, you know, that front seven-ish. That's the goal. You think there's any chance, Jason, there would be a defensive back available there, that they would go there first? I don't think so. Nobody's projecting that, but Ted Thompson's been not that early. Maybe do some wheeling and dealing to get something early in the second round? Or do you think something will be in their assigned pick in the second round? Yeah, one of those things. Yeah, I agree. By the way, if you want to find out who they draft, you can text the word draft, D-R-A-F-T, as in touchdown, draft to 79489. 79489. The Milwaukee Brewers lost yesterday. Tough game. They had a rally going in the ninth where they could have pulled it out. They have now lost in the last two series, 3 of 4 and 2 of 3. People are freaking. Brewers fans are freaking. Oh my God, it's May 2013 all over again. I am mildly concerned. I'm not panicking. I am mildly concerned. The Reds one really concerned me a little. They should have split that one. The Diamondbacks concerned, they're just not scoring runs. And what I said is they're going to be in most games if their pitching holds up, and for the most part, their pitching has held up. However, they did give up 7 runs the other night, and it was a collapse of the bullpen. Otherwise, they won 8-3 and lost 3-2. That's enough to win, but, I mean, the bats have really gone silent. Clearly, Ryan Braun, out of the lineup, is a big loss. I am not yet in freak mode. I'm in mild panic mode. Are you even there, Jason? You're not. You're probably right. I think they're going to be fine. I think getting Ryan Braun back next week, as is expected to happen, will be very helpful. What a lot of people don't realize is the month of May was really the only month that the Brewers were awful last year. The rest of the season, they were actually pretty good. The problem is, in Major League Baseball, you can't take a whole month off and then be competitive. It doesn't work that way. They won 6 games in all of May. Too deep a hole from which to dig out of. The rest of this, as the year went on, by September, they were actually very, very good. You just can't, however, completely tank 1 month. They went into May in even a better position than they went into May in 2013. I don't think they're going to blow it. However, not taking 2 of 3 from the D-backs does make the Yankees series even bigger. Here's the other thing I would say, too, and I think people underestimate this. I'm going to see if Jason agrees. They are an overworked team right now. They've been on a massive stretch, and today's day off comes, I think, at a very big time. Let's see. They head off. Where are we here? How many days have they had off in May so far? 1. Go back. Can you go back to April? All right. I just want to do this. They've had one day off so far in May. You then have to go back to April 24th. They've had 2 days off. They've had 2 days off since April 3rd. Am I reading that right? Now, I don't know how that compares with other major league teams. That might be about on par. But here's two other factors. The injuries and how many extra inning games have they played on that brief of rest? Way too many. So I'm not panicking. I think there are mitigating reasons why they're off to a slow start in May, but boy, they got to start scoring runs. And if the offense doesn't look any better after Ryan Braun gets back in the lineup next week, then I am going to be concerned. I think they're in a position now where, for psychological reasons, they need to take two of three from the Yankees. I really do believe that. I know they still have a five-game lead. Or if they still have a five-game lead in July, then you'll get excited. Well, if it's too early to get excited, you can tell yourself it's too early to panic, except everybody saw what happened last year. You know, what last May taught is you can lose a pennant in spring. Jason says that's why he's not getting excited. That's also why you're not panicking. But if they don't start winning consistently in May, there's going to be more reason to panic. All right, I want to revisit a topic from yesterday. Yesterday, we talked about Michael Sam, soon to be NFL rookie, who, after a senior year in college, came out as gay. It was anticlimactic in many ways because his entire team, the whole campus, knew he was gay. And by most reports, 99% of NFL teams knew he was gay. Given that, I said this was complete self-aggrandizing. And we brought up whether he deserved the Arthur Ashe Courage Award, which has been bestowed upon him. A listener then said, Tim Tebow is more deserving. Because, quite frankly, wearing your Christianity on your sleeve is going to bring you more scorn, mockery, and ridicule from the public, from the media, than coming out gay is going to make you a hero. This led to an email from a young female listener who says she is gay, which I do not doubt, calling me and listeners who called into the show homophobes for our position on this. I then read that brief email on the air and said, do you even know what homophobe means? It means to be afraid of gay people. I mean, homophobe has been used as a label anytime anyone holds a position that the gay mafia doesn't like. By the way, gay mafia is liberal Bill Maher's term, not mine. Homophobia, do you know what a homophobe is, Rebecca? I don't think you do. A straight man who lives in fear that every gay man wants to rape him, that's a homophobe. That's phobia is irrational fear by definition. You know, or the reverse case for lesbians, an irrational fear that lesbians want to turn all women into lesbians. That's homophobia. Those are just two examples. But an irrational fear. And the reason some listeners called you hateful, Rebecca, is you're taking a drastic label and applying it to everyone with whom you disagree. And that is hate. She followed up with an email after I said all of that on the air. You're so afraid to admit you're wrong, and boy, do you get nasty about it. I didn't do anything nasty. And I'm not going to admit I'm wrong because I'm not. If you weren't afraid of homosexuals, you wouldn't be saying the things you say. You wouldn't compare me marrying someone I love to three sisters getting married. If they love each other, Rebecca, why do you have any more right to marry than they do? Explain that to me. What are you, a polygophobe or something? You wouldn't sit and whine about us all being put on a pedestal. Not all of you. I'm saying some of you want to be put on a pedestal. Michael Sam is one of them. You know why it's a big deal now? Because for so long, we couldn't be out before you were born. For so long, being gay meant the end of your career, your family, like kicking you out, getting beaten up at school, some of which still happens. Talk to me about getting beaten up at school. Be the short, fat kid sometime, Rebecca. You can't choose whether or not to come out as that. You can't choose to be the kid in the wheelchair. I'm referring to Jason. If you had responded, well, maybe you could have convinced me otherwise. Instead, you called me names. I did not call you a name on the air. I said your idea was intellectually vacant. See how she hears this? I'm gay, so anything you say about me is homophobic. That's being put on a pedestal. You claimed I probably believed a bunch of other stuff about race and ethnicity I never said, but you don't deny you believe it. Way to get one more moderate to vote to the left. I don't like Obama. I don't think we should downsize the military. I hold a ton of conservative beliefs. But how can I vote for a party that wants to step on my rights for the way I was born? I don't want to step on your rights. What I'm trying to tell you, Rebecca, is you can't open the door to marriage a little bit. You don't want marriage equality. You want gays to have the same right as straights, not people who would marry three or four or five people. And no, not two consenting adults who share the same blood. That's a judgment call on your part. Why should you judge their love any more than someone should judge your love? And you cannot see it's the same thing. You just can't. You've completely killed my faith in a lot of things today. Then she sends another longer email. Now that I've had some time to think, this is the last email I'm going to send you because we're clearly not going to change each other's minds, but I still have something to say to you. I'm not going to call in because I haven't been a radio talk show host for years, and quite frankly, I'm not willing to give you that home court advantage when your listeners already have decided to hate me. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm somehow the one hate-mongering. In part, yes. It's just so damn disappointing. I grew up in a conservative household. I voted Republican in the last two elections. I spent 4 years in one of the most liberal majors that exists, constantly having to defend my opinions, constantly arguing with professors and TAs, insisting they were wrong and conservatives weren't as bad as they thought. And yet, I never, ever considered myself liberal in any matters except gay marriage, even after the most liberal of classes. And now, I can't help but feel the right is as bad as the left. To be called names and torn down on the air for calling you out. See, that's the way she hears it. You know what happened here, don't you? She sent a one-line email calling me a homophobe, and it never occurred to her I would respond. She is so sure about that, she thought I would just be shamed into not responding. When I was, well, then he hates me, and he's saying bad things about me. No, I challenged your position, Rebecca. I never said anything personal about you. That is the way you are hearing it. Because you're so convinced I'm right, I'm a homophobe, it never in your wildest dreams occurred I might have a response to it. When I did, you internalized it as hateful. Because you have no interest in hearing the actual argument. You have no idea how I treat gay people in my life. And yeah, I have gay people in my life. I respect friends, co-workers who are gay. The issue here is marriage. And you cannot open the door to marriage just to gays. And when that argument comes up, you know you can't respond to it, so you play the homophobe card. Listen to this. You may not be carrying a Westboro Baptist Church sign. You may even be well-meaning, but in the end, what you're doing and saying, especially to a group of people that apparently will jump to agree with everything you say, is hurting the gay cause. And until it's not a big deal to be gay, now let's correct that, Rebecca, until gays stop making it a big deal to be gay, there's going to need to be a gay cause. No, you're the one that makes a big deal out of it. Michael Sam is the one making a big deal out of it. Rebecca, I don't care who you love. I don't care what you do in your bedroom. I don't care. And it wouldn't change my opinion of you as a person. But not caring about your sex life is different from marriage. Marriage is what it is. And as my wife said the other night, here's the answer to this. And it's extreme, and I used to rail against it, but I've come to the degree where it's the only answer. Government has to get out of marriage. And then the only answer is, Rebecca, if you find a church to marry you, God bless you. But government is going to have to end its involvement. And yes, that includes tax deductions and all the other legal issues. Who gets to be there when you're dying in bed? Who gets your money and everything else is going to be halved up to individual choice. That's what's really going to have to happen. And then that will end this debate. And the reality is there are churches who will marry you. As I've said, the battle over gay marriage is over, and I understand that. It's going to be sooner rather than later the law of the land. That doesn't have to mean that I have to suddenly say I'm wrong, because I don't believe I am. I said nothing hateful about you, Rebecca. I did not insult you. You take insult to the fact that I actually had a response to you calling me a homophobe when it never, ever occurred to you that I would. You thought I'd be so ashamed of that you send one-line email calling me a homophobe and you don't think that's hateful? Really? Without even knowing me or know who I am? I know people think they know me from being on the radio some 2.5 hours a day, 5 days a week. But you don't really know who I am until you talk with me one-on-one. And I'm not denying the things gays have gone through. All right, I've gone long on this segment. Not going to have a lot of time when we get back. It's 9:52. As you know, for some time now, I've been telling you about Proactive Weight Loss Solutions. I have now lost 56 pounds. I'm not even on the program anymore. In maintenance, I continue to lose weight. Why? Because Dr. Jason Lippman continues to work with me, and it's become a family affair. My wife has been on the program 1 week today, and if I understand the math right, she's lost almost 10 pounds. Now, she has the benefit of me having been on the program and working her through it. But she still has Dr. Lippman there, and that's why we say Proactive Weight Loss Solutions is not a diet. It's a doctor-supervised, multifaceted weight loss program. And any question she has, if she plateaus a little bit, and he'll be there for you. It doesn't matter if you're in Sheboygan, Wausau, just because the number might sound like a Green Bay or Fox Valley number. Don't worry about that. This can work for you. Call Dr. Litwin today, 920-268-1386. Dr. Jason Litwin, 920-268-1386.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.